Amen. Thank you for that special. What a beautiful song. I want to ask you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. We've been studying passages of Scripture that are dealing with the last week of Jesus' life for some time now. And Jesus has begun to give some parables here towards the end. And this parable in particular is about the king and a marriage for his son. And if you'd find your place there in Matthew 22, and let's stand together for the reading of God's word tonight. Matthew 22, verse 1. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parable, saying, and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready, come unto the marriage. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, as we come before your throne of grace, we're thankful for the beautiful day. God, I just thank you that we can come together to sing your praises, to pray together, to share burdens with one another, and to spend time in the Word of God. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would help us, Lord. Our spirits are willing, but Lord, I know our flesh is weak, so I pray you'll give strength and grace tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd forgive my sin and the sin of every hearer, that you would help us to be cleansed of our unrighteousness, Lord. We desperately need you every moment of every day. Lord, we pray that you'll come into our service and that you'll work in our hearts and that you'll get glory and you'll change us, transform us, conform us to the image of your dear Son. Lord, I pray that you'll help me, for I'm nothing without you, and I pray that you'll just convict our hearts tonight, that we'll have a burden to be close to Jesus, to answer when you call, and Lord, that we'll have a burden for those who have not yet heard the call, those who have rejected the call, and Lord, that you'll just give us a heart of compassion towards others. Please help us to faithfully follow you, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please be seated. This parable you may or may not be familiar with. It's got some very close similarities to a parable that was given in Luke chapter 14, and we'll talk about that a little bit as well tonight. But in this parable, near the end of Jesus' life on this earth, his earthly ministry, he gives this parable about the marriage of the Son. And he says the kingdom of heaven is like this. There's a king, and he's got a son who's going to be married, and he's prepared everything for that. And he gives a specific invitation. He says to his servants, I want you to go and call those that were bidden. There were certain who were invited first to the wedding feast, those who would come. And in those days, weddings were a big affair. And the fact that this was a king meant that this was an incredible affair. This would have been a huge feast. This would have been something that if you were invited to, you would want to go to. You wouldn't want to offend the king. You would want to go and be a part of it. It would be an extravagant affair, and you would want to go to honor the king, to honor his son. You would want to be a part of it. But Jesus says that when the servants of the king go out and they call those who were invited, those who were already bidden, they would not come. And so then he sends other servants, and he says, behold, I have prepared my dinner. He says, everything is ready. It's time to come. I want you to consider this. I don't know that it's a great likening, but you know, we do that today, right? We don't just send out one invitation. If you're going to have a big event, what's the first thing somebody sends out? They send out a save the date. So that's what you do, right? I'm hoping the ladies will back me up on this, because I don't really know. But nowadays, you have an event coming, and you send out a save the date, and then later you might get a more formal invitation. But that's what's happening here. He sends out, there were those who were already bidden, And he sends out the servants to invite them, and they wouldn't come. And then he gets everything ready. It's time to come. The day has arrived, and he sends out his servants to those who have a specific invitation. And I want you to notice what happens in verse 5. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise, and the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. This is a picture for us today, specifically of how the gospel went to the Jew first. I mentioned this the other day, but would you look at Romans chapter 1 and verse 16? Romans 1:16. Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." The gospel was given to the Jews first. They had the oracles of God. They were God's chosen people. And you'll remember from your Old Testament that God had set aside the children of Abraham, and he wanted to make them an entire nation, entire kingdom of priests who would go and be his witnesses to the whole world. We know that the tribes rebelled against God, and it was only the tribe of Levi that would stand on the Lord's side, and that's why the Levites were separated as the priestly tribe. But it was always God's intention that he would have an entire kingdom, an entire nation of priests who would do the work of representing God to the people and people to God. And so we understand that when Jesus came and established his church, when he tore down that middle wall of partition, when he tore that veil from top to bottom and he made a way, there's no division between Jews and Gentiles now. Everyone can come to the throne of grace. And everyone who believes in Jesus is to be part of the priesthood of God. Amen. We're believer priests. We're to be representatives of the people to God and God to the people. And so I understand that the Jews were the ones who received the gospel first, but then it went to everyone. And this parable that Jesus is giving is a representation of that. The specific invitation went to the Jews first, but then notice their varied rejection. One said that he just made light of it, and he went back to his farm. Another one made light of it and went to his merchandise. I want you to understand that not only did the Jews wholesale reject Jesus, he came unto his own, and his own received him not, but I want you to know that God's given the invitation to others today, and they still reject him, much for the same reasons. Amen. Notice their occupation and their possessions kept them from coming to Jesus. I don't have time to go to a wedding feast. I don't have time to come to your son's marriage. I don't have time for you or your family or your business. I've got my own occupation to take care of. I've got my own possessions to worry about. And I'm just afraid there are a lot of people in America today who are so obsessed with their occupation that they won't come to the invitation that God has given to them. There's so many people that are so consumed with their possessions that they won't come to the invitation that God has given to them. I look at the invitation at the end of verse 4. It just strikes my heart. The king sends the servant and says, "Come unto the marriage." What an incredible thing that God in heaven has given an invitation to come and be a part of the wedding of his son. Amen. He's invited us to come to the marriage, to come and dine with him. And so they had a varied rejection. There weren't just those who were rejecting him and making light with their occupation and their possessions, but there were those who had a violent rejection. The remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. That's that word spitefully. They entreated them spitefully. That means that they treated them with violence. They not only rejected them, they not only made light of the invitation, but they mocked them and they beat them and they killed them. Amen. Not only can we look back at the prophets that God had sent to Israel and how they killed the prophets, but you can look in the New Testament and you can see how they treated the apostles, how the disciples were mistreated. You don't have to just look there, but you can look through history. It was brought up by, I think, in our Sunday school class this morning, Fox's Book of Martyrs. If you haven't read that, you ought to read that. You ought to read about people who love Jesus more than they love their own life. You ought to understand that there were many who faithfully took the message of God and they were treated spitefully, they were murdered, they were violently rejected. But listen, when somebody rejected the prophets, it wasn't just they rejected Jeremiah. When they rejected the message of John the Baptist, it wasn't just that they rejected John. When they rejected the message of Peter and of Paul and the other apostles, it wasn't just that they rejected them. You see, ultimately, they're rejecting Christ.
Amen.
So there was a varied rejection. Notice next the just retribution, verse 7. When the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Jesus says that those who got the invitation first, when they rejected the servants of the king, that he was angry and he musters up his armies and he destroys them and their city is burned. I want to tell you, I can't help but think of some foreshadowing here. In AD 70, a city of Jerusalem was burned to the ground. The temple was destroyed. And just like Jesus said, not one stone was left on another. You see, Herod had renovated the temple, and it was an incredible sight. I think the tower of the temple was some 150 feet high. Everything in the temple was overlaid with gold. It was an incredible thing. That part of the temple that stood up, that face of the temple mount, the temple towers that stood up, it was facing to the east. So when the morning sun came up in Jerusalem, the first thing it hit was the top of that golden tower of the temple. And so when the Romans came and they ransacked the city, they built towers around it of wood and they burned it so that they would melt it so that the rocks literally crumbled and the gold flowed down. And they didn't leave one stone left on another. They literally plowed it up to get all the gold out that they possibly could. Because God's people had rejected their Messiah, judgment would come and God was angry. You know, a lot of people have a hard time understanding how God could be so angry. I had a person who they say they don't believe in God. They're really unsure about some things. And one of the things they wrestle with, they just can't understand why God would give eternal punishment. How could God punish someone forever in hell? And I don't understand all about the justice of God. I know it's true because it's what he said. I believe in hell because Jesus did. But I do get a little bit of a glimpse when I look at what Christ has done for us and people reject him and they trodden underfoot the Son of Man, the Son of God. They despitefully abuse him and reject him. You get to understand just a little bit the wrath of God. Most of you have a little bit of that, right? If somebody does you wrong, most of you are Christian enough that you can deal with that when somebody treats you badly. No? Okay. Let me give you the benefit of the doubt. Most of you, if somebody does you wrong, most of you can deal with that pretty well, can't you? All right. Well, if you can't, tonight we're going to have an altar call at the end of the service, and you'll have an opportunity to repent. And can I say, seriously, you ought to. Like, if you can't take an offense, then you ought to repent about that. I've noticed this, though. I can deal with offenses against me much better than I can against someone else in my family. Amen. I have a harder time if somebody treats one of my kids wrong.
Amen.
Harder time if somebody treats my wife wrong. I have a little bit harder time kind of letting that go, getting over it. Don't you?
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's okay. I'm just saying that's in our nature, that we don't deal with it as well. And I just want you to understand that people reject God all the time. And when you consider what God sent Jesus to do and he's rejected and his messengers are violently rejected, God's anger is kindled against them. And can I just say, I know that it's not popular in America today to implore people to fear God. I understand that it's not a popular message today, that God's wrath is real and it's on us today. I understand that people don't like that message, but it doesn't change the truth of it. And one of the biggest problems in America today, one of the biggest problems in the world today, is people don't fear God. And can I just remind you, that's the conclusion of the whole matter. Let us fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Fear Him. Fear Him. And they had no fear of the king. They had no concern for the king. It never occurred to them that by rejecting the servants of the king, that by making light of the marriage of his son, that by ignoring the invitation that he sent, it never occurred to them that his wrath would be poured out on them. But that's exactly what happened in the parable. It's exactly what's going to happen to all those who reject the invitation of God today. God has invited, God has made a way, God has brought us in and makes a way for us to come in, and we must accept the invitation or we will be destroyed just like those murderers in that day, in that parable. Look at verse 8. It goes from a specific invitation that was to the Jews first, and then it's an open invitation in verse 8. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which are bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. He has those that were bidden, and they were found unworthy. They were unworthy because they didn't accept the invitation. That was all that the difference is. Listen, who was worthy to come? Who furnished the marriage? Who came as the guest? Those who accepted the invitation. Amen. Well, listen, preacher, they were good people, or he wouldn't have invited them. No, they were good and bad. There were the righteous and the unrighteous. Those who had a high standing in society and those who had a low standing in society. Those on the good side of the tracks and those on the bad side of the tracks. Listen, there were those who maybe were wealthy and those who were very poor, but the invitation was open to everyone, and anyone who accepted the invitation could come. This is a picture that because the Jews rejected God's invitation, He opened it up to everyone, and thank God for that. I know just hearing that makes you think of Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14, verse 21. Jesus says, so that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. And it's not the same parable, but it's the same teaching in that parable. They were those who were invited and they rejected, so God opened it up to everybody, even the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And there is still room in the master's house. Hey, do you think there's still room in the master's house today? You see, I figure in this parable, we got to figure out where we fit. And I'm going to tell you where I think the categories that you might fit in. Okay, you ready? One, I'm going to tell you where you're not. You're not the king. Ladies, you're not even the queen. You're not the son. You're not the son. The king is God the Father. Jesus is the son. Amen. Then we have the servants who went out to make the invitation. Then we have those who were bidden who wouldn't come. Then we have those who were invited later who did come. I wonder where you are today. Because I believe this, if you were one who is rejected and you're still hearing the message today, then the invitation is still open for you. Amen. I've met some men over the years who think it's too late for them. But I believe that our God not only is just, but He's also loving. I don't think God keeps sending people to preach the gospel to people who it's too late for. I could be wrong about that. I don't know the mind of God, but I'm just telling you that if you're still hearing the gospel, that just maybe God's still calling.
Amen.
If you've never accepted the invitation to come to the marriage of the Son, you are invited to come.
Amen.
To turn from your sin and put your faith in Jesus. Maybe you're of those who were poor and halt and lame and blind. Maybe you were those that were out in the highways and you were just found and you were bidden and the wedding was ready. And so you have gathered together both good. Maybe you were good. Maybe you were bad. But you have come to the wedding feast because you've accepted the invitation. But I'd like to think this. I'd like to think that we can carry the parable just a little bit further. That you and I could be the servants who go out.
Amen.
And compel others to come in.
Amen.
I'd like to think that after we've got our place at the supper, that God's given us the privilege of inviting others to come to the supper as well. The open invitation resulted in many coming, was furnished with guests. But then I want to give you one last warning of a thorough inspection in verse 11. And when the king came in to see the guests, can I just stop you right there? God has created a marriage for his son. God has invited anyone to come. But there's going to come a time when God is going to come and see the guests. God's going to come and make an inspection. There's going to be a judgment time.
Amen.
There's going to be a judgment time. He comes in and he sees the guests. Look at the rest of the verse. He says, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. And said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Everyone was invited to the wedding. Now, Bible scholars say that the king or the host of a wedding would provide a wedding garment for the poor who couldn't afford one for themselves. It was a common thing for kings and nobles, dignitaries, to give away clothing. I want you to think back in your mind. Do you remember when Joseph was the second in command of all of Egypt and his brothers came and bowed before him? You remember how he gave them gifts, but to Benjamin he gave more gifts and many nice garments, many changes of clothes that he gave to him? I want you to think about that and realize that the king would invite the people in, and if you had a wedding garment, you were expected to wear your wedding garment, and if you didn't have a wedding garment, then he would provide one for you so that everyone there would be clothed properly for the wedding ceremony, for the wedding feast. And if you just get that picture in your mind, aren't you thankful today that not only did God invite you in, but he's clothed you.
Amen.
With his righteousness. He's put on his righteousness on you. We're called to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision of the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. God's given us an invitation, but not only that, he's cleaned us up. He's given us the right clothes to wear to come into his presence. And he's given us clean white robes to come. And the historians say that that's exactly what they wore to the wedding. Everybody wore a white robe. And it was a symbol of the purity of the marriage. It was a symbol of the honor that they had for the host and for that family and for those who were being married. And I just want you to get it that it's not that this man was so poor he couldn't afford one and one wasn't offered to him, but it was the fact that the king had invited him and he didn't have one. One was available to him, but he decided not to put it on. I think there are a lot of implications for this in the parable, but I would say it's, for me, very clearly that there are some who have come in, but they've not been changed. They've not put on the Lord Jesus Christ. They're going through the motions. They're sitting in the pew. They're singing the hymns along with everyone else, maybe even saying the prayers, but they've never been changed by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They've never repented and put their faith in Christ alone. They've never truly been born again. And can I just give you a very serious warning that you would consider yourself, that you would make sure that you're in the faith. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Be clothed with His righteousness that Paul tells us comes by faith. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10, he says, "Wherefore, rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure." You've been called to the marriage, but make your calling and election sure. Make it steadfast. Make sure. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Are you trusting in Christ alone? And so many times when we talk about this, we say, you need to examine your life, examine your fruit. Listen, I'm not talking about how you live your life. I'm talking about where your faith is tonight. Are you trusting in Christ alone? Have you truly answered the call and the invitation that He's given? So what happens to this servant? Verse 12 says he was speechless. I'm confident that the king is representative of God Himself, because you know what everybody's going to say when we kneel before God in judgment? We're not going to say anything. We're not going to be able to answer a word. In the presence of the glory of God, he's speechless. Notice that the king calls him friend. He loved this person. He invited them in. He wanted to clothe them with a new garment, but they refused. They decided that they were okay just the way that they are. And Jesus may love you just the way you are, but He's going to change you. He doesn't want to leave you just the way you are. He called him friend. He said, "How could you come in here and not put on the wedding garment?" And the man was speechless, and the judgment was swift. Verse 13, the king says to the servants, "Bind him hand and foot, take him away, cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And Jesus uses this terminology many times to describe those who will be out of His presence forever. Verse 14 says, "For many are called, but few are chosen." God has given the invitation to everyone. Jesus died for everyone. He's the propitiation for our sins, but not for ours only, but for all the world. The call has gone out to many. But if we don't soften our hearts and answer that call. Let me end with these verses. Luke chapter 9, verse 57. It came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, "Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest." Jesus said unto him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." And he said unto another, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father." Jesus said unto him, "Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God." And another also said, "Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go, bid them farewell, which are at my home at my house." And Jesus said unto him, "No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." The invitation goes out tonight to come to the marriage. Have you accepted that invitation? If you have, don't turn back. Put your eyes on Jesus and let your eyes stay in front of you and look right on. Don't turn to the right hand or to the left. Put your eyes on Jesus and don't let your occupation or your possessions or your family or your your sinful desires or anything turn you away from following Jesus, put your hand to the plow and let your eyes look right on to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to ask that our musicians come, you stand with me tonight. Have you answered the call? Have you accepted the invitation? Have you put your faith in Christ alone? If you haven't, you can trust in Him tonight. If you have trusted in Him, are you following Him? Are you fully committed to Him? Are you being a servant to go and compel others to come in? Whatever it might be, the Holy Spirit might be convicting your heart about tonight. Would you respond in faith and obedience while we sing?